We have them, by the way, who is sympathetic toward our approach to rebound. And we've been raking the coals over all of these. We burned about six guys in the last three nights. And I suppose we'll probably do the same thing tonight. Be praying, by the way, for Dan and his wife and their eight-year-old as they head toward Vegas. Not because they're going to Vegas. Remember, they're driving my car. That's one of the prayer requests. But they're going to be visiting with the pastor of Upland Bible Church, Dick Olson. He is not well, by the way. He hasn't been for months and months and months. He has been to Mayo Clinic. They cannot determine what his problem is. And he just keeps deteriorating. I would imagine if I saw him, I haven't seen him in about 5 or 6 years, but I wouldn't even recognize him. Because apparently from the information that we've received, it's pretty bad. Whatever it is, it's slowly killing him, and he's degenerating very quickly. He's still teaching 5 Bible classes a week. So he's strong in that area, but he said through another person that it's totally exhausting for him. He just barely gets by what he teaches. And he's not an older man. He's probably in his, what, early 50s, if that? You know, he's not like Maurice and I. In any event, be praying for him, if you would. All right, let's look to the Lord in a few moments of silent prayer. As you know, silent prayer is twofold. One, having to do with our academic discipline, just clearing your mind of everything that may have bothered you today or may have even interrupted your proper thinking as you approach the parking lot this evening. Be objective as Dan ministers to us. In addition to the fact, the most important thing, obviously, is the filling of the Spirit, which can only be gained by the utilization of confession. Confession says that you confess it, and it's up to the Lord at that point. All you have to do is confess. You don't have to ask for forgiveness. That's redundant. Matter of fact, it's ludicrous. You just simply confess. And he says, and I'll do the rest. He forgives, he cleanses, and immediately upon that, we are filled with the Spirit. With that, let's pray. We're thankful, Father, for thy grace and the time that we have again to study thy word and to hear what is going on throughout the world in the area of missions. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us this evening. We ask in Christ's name, amen. I've known Dan for probably about a couple of years now. We met in California. He had a renegade with him named Dan Hill. And so we fellowshiped together during that time. And they've been staying with us now for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months. It's getting rather annoying, as a matter of fact. No, just for a few days. And we've had some very interesting discussions, especially since he has the opportunity to go from place to place and hear what some of these yo-yos are actually teaching. And what I've told you in the past is absolutely correct. It's worse in some places. He is now in charge of VMI, which is Village Missions International. The two that I know of that are byproducts of that is Russia Village Missions, and I'm sure that Colleen is thoroughly aware of that, as well as Africa Village Missions. And I'm just going to turn the remaining time over to him and let him pour out the desire of his heart. Dan?
Thank you, Pastor Miller. I'd like to thank Pastor Miller and Jan for all their hospitality. They've been really good to us. And I'm living proof that he's really not as bad as he sounds. I've woken him up twice now from a nap, and I'm still here. There is hope. Well, if I slip into tongues tonight, you'll have to forgive me. It's Pastor Miller's fault we ate Chinese, so I may slip into a few tongues here in the next little bit. Anyway, tonight what I'd like to do is tell you a little bit about what's going on. I'd like to tell you how I kind of ended up in BMI, because that's a story in itself. And then after you awake from that, we'll show some slides, and I'll give you some past history of what's occurred just this last year at BMI. And then I'll tell you a little bit about the future. And if we got a little time in there, we'll answer some questions. Or at least we'll let you ask questions. I don't know if there'll be any answers, since I'm not really good at questions, but we'll try. Anyway, first I want to greet you I bring you greetings from Belarus, West Africa, Asia, and Sri Lanka. Our missionaries there send their regards, and they're thankful for you following their ministries and for praying for them. A little bit about myself, how I got started. I was saved when I was 7, and I won't linger too long there, but we'll move right on. I was Baptist until I was age 14, and at that time, my family moved to Bible churches, and so I've been on doctrine since I was 14. And then in 1990, my wife and I moved over to what was Petrean Bible Church at the time when Dan Hill became the pastor there. And the last couple of, it's been more than a few months, the last almost 9 months now, we've been in Fredericksburg, Texas, trying to recover from the time with Dan Hill. I was on the board of directors at Petrean and worked very closely with Dan Hill. So those of you who have worked closely with Dan Hill in the past, we have something in common. But actually, I'd like to mention that Dan Hill is a big reason why I'm here. The ministry that he has, that he's allowed the Lord to work through him, has brought me into the ministry. Because I was one of those believers that would go to Bible class, take my notes, fold them up, put them in the trunk of my car, and then I wouldn't go back to them again until the next Bible class. And heaven forbid if I ever shared that with anybody. Now, I used it in my personal life just fine, and used the doctrine that I'd learned in my business. But, you know, I really never shared it with anybody. And I always said I'd never speak in front of people. I'd never go out and do those things like outreach and those kinds of things. So I'm living proof that the Lord has a sense of humor, and a big sense of humor. So that's why if I stumble tonight and you realize that I'm not, I don't consider myself a public speaker. So we'll try to struggle through this together. Let's see, about myself. I owned a construction company for 19 years, and then I started getting involved with BMI as a volunteer. I helped with the student exchange program. I think you all had some students here back in 93, the summer of 93. And during that time is when I went and became a volunteer on staff with BMI. And I took my first mission trip to Mogilev in 1994, November of 94. And I'll never forget that first night in Mogilev, because I got into the hotel after lugging the bags up all those flights of stairs because the elevators were broke. And I thought, man, what am I doing here? This is not for me. Queen can relate to that. So that was my first trip. My second trip was in 1996, and during that period of time, I was still doing volunteer work for BMI, helping out Pat Hill, because she was the administrator at the time, while Jody was living overseas and leaving all the problems to Pat, which is common for Jody. I know Jody too well, unfortunately. Does anybody here know Jody Brown? You have my deepest sympathy. So in 96, I went to Africa. It was my real experience of where it all came together for me. Dan Hill had forced me to do some teaching at Petrean, and which is now Southwood. We've had this all week. Is it Petrean or Southwood? And so if I call it one or the other, you know what it is. But he had forced me into teaching, forced me out of my comfort zone, and because he knew I should be teaching. And when I went to Africa, that's when it all came together for me, and I knew at that time that the Lord wanted me in BMI. Now, my plan was I'd do it 5 to 10 years down the road, because I'd be able to get myself to a certain position financially, and I'd have it nice and easy. Well, that wasn't the Lord's plan. That was my plan. So I learned another hard lesson like I have all my life, but I really got to a point where I started praying
Father, just whatever you want to do with me, that's what I want. I just want to do whatever you want. And it wasn't 6 months later that he threw me into this position. And so I'm here, and this is what I'm doing. I never would have dreamed it. I always told, I'm the king of saying never. Never say never. That's me. I always say never. And so I've been thrust into this. But I've really enjoyed it. It's just a real blessing and a privilege to work with these nationals overseas. Well, what I'd like to do now is show you a few slides, and I'll give you some update of what's going on in these different areas as we look at some of the slides. That way I can turn the lights out and don't have to look at you. Or Pastor Miller. And I know you've seen a lot of these areas before, but maybe I can give you a little bit of update of what's going on recently that you haven't heard before. This is, of course, in Nigeria. This is Abudu. And you can see a couple of villages. There's one to the left and then one at the end of the road. This is a typical village, and you've probably seen this before. I don't know if you've ever heard, but the building to the right that has a tin roof, those are considered compounds, and every village has one of those. And that's usually where the chief lives. And then all of his family members, his daughters or sons or whatever, have the huts surrounding the compound. This is James Owusu in Ghana. And this is some of the men of a church, and they're meeting under a tree to get a little shade. We just were able to build our first church building in Ghana this past year. And it was really exciting because his ministry up in the mountain areas of Ghana is just now starting to really blossom. And the Lord is really doing some exciting things up there. This is a typical church. And as you see the chairs, that's where the men will be when they teach. And of course, they're under the big shade tree. This is Afi. I don't know if you've ever seen Afi, but I always include her in my slides because she is so much of an encouragement to me. But Afi, and you can see she's been given a Gideon New Testament. So that's why she's smiling. She's really happy to have a Bible, which is a rarity, unfortunately, in these villages. But Afi was born crippled, and she crawls to Bible class, or she did crawl to Bible class. And you wouldn't think that would be too significant other than she crawled about a mile and a half to Bible class. And I like to show her slide because, you know, on those long, hard days at work and it's a Tuesday or Wednesday night and we got Bible class, and you're tired and you think, oh, I don't want to drive all the way over to church and go to church. Just think of Afi and what she went through to get to Bible class. Now, things have been a little better for her. This is her today. In fact, I was over there in December, and I got to visit with her a little bit. But she has appliances for her legs now and crutches. So she's able to walk to Bible class. And to her, she feels like she has such a higher level of self-esteem or self-worth. But she had the same, if not more, when she was crawling to Bible class to me. It was a real impact for me when I met her and learned her story. It's good that she has these crutches because now the church, they've built a new church and it's about 3 miles away, 2.5 to 3 miles. So James Owusu does try to pick her up, but if he doesn't get the opportunity to pick her up, she does show up. She may be late, but she will be there because she'll walk to Bible class. This is Matthias Adi. You've probably seen him in newsletter and slides, his wife Irene, and that's little Jody in front. And believe me, he's a little Jody. I mean, he lives up to the reputation. And they've had one more child. Just after I left in December, Irene had their last child. And I think Matthias has finally figured out what causes that, and they're going to get that taken care of. This is Matthias and his six pastors at the time. Now, these six pastors are still with him, and now he's up to 18 pastors. And they have 18 churches. And it originally started in like a 2-square-mile area. And now we're up to almost a 20-square-mile area of villages that we're hitting. And Matthias has 20, besides the 18 pastors, he has 7 more people on his payroll. And they do everything from nursing, caring for their members,
taking care of the compound because they bring all their sick people into their house. And this is, again, a typical church family. They're typically around 80 to 100 people per church. And that's usually a collection of two or three villages. They'll put the church building in one of the centrally located villages, and they'll all come to that. I should mention, and you probably saw it in our newsletters, but this past year we received a grant, and it was to fund several projects. And a couple of the projects were here in Nigeria. And one of those projects was a medical clinic. And it was originally supposed to be a four-room medical clinic. Well, when the Muslims got wind of what we were doing, they actually, rather than trying to prevent us from doing it, they embraced us. And mainly because it's a big feather in their hat to have a hospital going in a rural area. But our little medical clinic turned into a full-blown hospital. And we have nurses that are going to be on staff and a doctor that's going to come through on a regular basis. And they'll be able to give the basic treatment that they need. And then along with that, they're going to be able to do birth control because that's a real problem out in these rural areas. But the hospital will be completed in about another month. And then along with that, we had a project of a pig farm. And what that's going to do is it's going to allow them to become more self-sufficient. And that's really our goal in all of these rural areas we go into. We like to try to help them spiritually, train the men to be pastors and evangelists. And then we like to try to improve their quality of life without disturbing their culture. And then we like to work towards getting them self-sufficient. And this all started for us in Nigeria in 1990. And we're just now getting to the point where we're going to be able to make them self-sufficient. So hopefully in about 2 years, this farm is going to grow to the size that they'll be able to profit from that business and pay the pastor's salaries. And they won't be relying on us for their monthly budget. Now, they'll still need help with special projects like vehicles and church buildings. But the monthly support is a huge, huge budget thing right now. And the farm is going to be giving us some relief. Now, there's a little bit of a funny story with that. I was in Fredericksburg, where Jody is associate pastor at Fredericksburg Bible Church. And when I came on to VMI, he didn't make it any secret that at Glen Haven, they named a building after him after he left. And, you know, he just kind of hinted around, and he was awfully proud that that building was an educational building. And, of course, those of you who really know Jody, that's really one of those opposite things. At least that's what I accuse him of. He is really sharp, but you wouldn't know it by talking. No, I'm just kidding. But the funny thing was, I thought to myself, well, one of these days I'm going to get him. And so a couple of weeks ago, I got up in front of his congregation and I had some pictures of the farm that we're building. And I said, and I went into the spiel about, you know, they named an educational building after him at Glen Haven. And we really felt like we should probably do something to, you know, honor him and all of his hard work. And, well, we named this pig farm after Jody. And that got a really good response. And especially this group is mainly seniors. I mean, probably a third or a half of the congregation is seniors and sometimes don't understand my humor or Jody's humor, but they really understood that and enjoyed that. But seriously, they did name a chapel after him. It's very important for these people to be able to do that, whereas in this culture, we don't look at it that way. Even scripturally, we don't look at that, the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing kind of thing. But in that culture, it's a little different, and it is really fitting. And so they named the Combined Services Building. It's where all the villages come together, and they worship together once a month. And they named that building the Jody and Cindy Brown Chapel. We're going to move a little north, and this is Mogilev, Belarus. And that is Steve Dupuy, the kid with the mustache and the receding hairline. But he is a kid at heart. Steve is still there. He's been there 5 years. But if you've been reading our newsletters, the doors are closing there. It's very difficult to operate. It's really restricted our short-term teams. And we're not even going to be able to have a camp team, I'm afraid, this year because the political situation is really bad. Now, we had a real blessing, and that's Steve Dupuy left us last September. And of course, you'd think, well, why is that a blessing? Because he joined Slavic Gospel Association, which is affiliated with the Baptist Union in the Soviet Union. And the Baptist, or in Russia, the Baptist Union is the only legal evangelical organization in Russia today. They were there back prior to the 15-year rule that they have in this new law. So Steve's affiliation with SGA is going to allow us to follow on their coattails and take all of the villages in the remote areas that they don't have the time or resources to cover. So we're going to be able to go in and work with SGA and the Baptist Union in Russia and be able to work in Belarus, the Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and we're really looking forward to the doors that that's going to be opening. This is Volodya Feldman, his wife Ira, and their son Sasha, and that's Volodya's father. He passed away here a while back, but Volodya has taken over all the ministry responsibilities in Mogilev, as Steve has stepped into SGA and taken over new responsibilities. He travels a lot now, and so Volodya stays there and he oversees all the ministry. Volodya has an interesting history. He's Jewish descent, and his grandfather was the second in the communist government back during the time of the war. And it's really interesting. He likes to take you to some memorials that they have for the Jews where they were persecuted and slain. And it's really, he's got a great testimony, and he loves to share that. My autofocus must not be working. This is a team I was on in 94. That's Pat Hill to my left, and then a couple other team members, and then Steve Dupuy. It's typical of what it looks like on a short-term team. And this is what we were doing at the time, is working in the schools, as you probably heard. Now we don't have any access to any of the schools. The only access we have to now is orphanages and hospitals. There's a children's hospital that's just outside the edge of town, and we have full access to that, and I think that's probably because the government just doesn't want to, they're not extremely concerned about that situation, and the people that run that facility really like to see us come, and they don't care what feathers are ruffled. They just want to have the kids evangelized and see us come in and work. This is Pat Hill's Bubbles the Clown. I didn't know if she'd ever shown you a slide as her dressed as a clown. I used to tease her that that was a natural makeup and wig for her. It just fit her perfectly. These are children in the hospital that are sick. You can tell by looking at them, they're not feeling too well. She tries to, whenever she goes over there or some of our other team members, will dress up as a clown and try to cheer up the kids and gives us a great opportunity to evangelize. This is a summer camp. This is an old, I don't know, Colleen, do you recognize this? Do you know what year that was? 3 years ago? But this is a camp, and I guess you guys are putting on a performance there. But the camp was so great last year that it's caused a lot of trouble. And we have just one person who really gives us the trouble, and his name's Ivan. I don't know if you all have seen that or heard about him. We call him Ivan the Terrible. We start out praying for salvation. I think we're praying for something else right now, but we just need the guy moved out of the picture. But we're still praying and hoping that that will ease up because that's going to free us up. With the local church, I don't know if you saw in our newsletter, but the local church there is going to join the Baptist Union, Word of Life. And that's going to allow them to be legal. Right now they're not technically legal in the country. And when they join a Baptist Union, that will make them legal, and hopefully they're going to be able to invite Americans to minister. Unfortunately, this past year, the Baptist Union invited so many Christians that the government has decided they need to limit them because the Orthodox Church is not inviting that many missionaries or Christians coming in. So why should they let that many come through the Baptist Union? So we've got a lot to pray for, but it's really given Volodya a chance to step up and grab the ball and to run with it. And he was always a little hesitant with that. And the Lord finally worked things, I think, to a situation where he had to step in and take over the local ministry. And it was a big step of faith for him, because with him being Jewish, and they have to also report to the government where they work, you know, there's a lot of restrictions that we don't even think of. And so it was a huge step of faith for him to come on and do full-time ministry. Now we're going to the other side of the world. This is Sri Lanka. If you've ever drinking any iced tea, you've drinking Sri Lankan tea. All the major manufacturers are there. They harvest the tea on all these mountains, and then they'll have a factory out in the middle of these tea fields, and they carry the tea on their back on their backs to the factory, and they process it and then ship it out. But this is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. Jody was on his trip, and he's been to 35 countries, and he said it was the most beautiful country he'd ever seen. And he actually missed a portion of the trip. Pat became ill on that trip, and he had to take her down to Colombo. And I went further up in the mountains with Drew Freeman, and you just could not believe it. That's where I took this picture. He didn't see the waterfalls I saw, but there was one right behind me just like that. So, you know, you look at all this beauty, and you can just see God in it. It's just, there's no question. But unfortunately, there's a lot of lost people. They're Hindus here, and Hindus are very hard to reach. In fact, this is Abe Masalamani and his wife Susie and their little son Abe. Abe's father was evangelized by a missionary for 11 years before he converted. And that's not uncommon with the Hindus. They're very difficult to reach. So Abe has a tough job ahead of him. He lives in Colombo, a modern city, and he takes a public bus up into the mountain regions. And that's where he has the churches that he ministers in. And he has four pastors that work with him now. But this public bus, it's an 8-hour trip. It's standing room only. You just can't even, no air conditioning. You just can't imagine. Colleen can imagine because she's seen the buses in Mogilev and they're similar. It's just that it's really, really hot here in Sri Lanka until you get up to the top of the mountains and it cools off. But we've started a vehicle fund for Abe. We're trying to raise funds. We're halfway to our goal, raising funds to get him a vehicle. He's not ever asked for anything. He's very grace-oriented. But we realize that he can be a lot more effective if he has transportation. This is the second church that he established up in the mountain areas. That's a school building behind him that they rent. And this is, again, this is about 80 people here. I think I counted 73 or 75 that day. But that's a typical size of a church. This is the inside of the school building where they meet, and they rent these buildings from the government. They do allow the Christians to use them, which is really kind of surprising. But the black fabric on the back wall, if you notice that, that's covering up some Hindu symbolisms that are there all day during the school days for the kids. And so when they come in to use this as a church, they have to cover that up. Now we're going to move up a little bit to Vietnam. This is the coastal city of Nha Trang. It's about halfway up the coast of Vietnam. It's a beautiful area. And this is Drew Freeman here with a couple of Vietnamese men. These are college students. And if you notice behind them, the curtains are drawn on the windows. And this is considered a safe motel. The fellow who owns this is not Christian, but is sympathetic to the Christians. And so he allows us to meet. This is really unlawful assembly. There are some Christian churches. They're Baptist churches in Vietnam, and they're mainly in the southern part of Vietnam. But these churches are legal because they were there before the communists came in, and they've allowed them to stay, but they are heavily restricted. And so they don't allow their members to carry their Bibles where they're visible. They have to conceal their Bibles. They can't do any outreach or evangelism. And even functions within the church are heavily restricted. They wanted to have a church choir. And they asked the government, can we have a 60-member choir? And the government said, no, you cannot. And so they said, okay, well, can we have a 20-member kid choir, a 20-member women, and a 20-member men? And they said, okay, that's all right. So they got their choir. But you can imagine what it's like working under, you know, somebody's thumb like that. But these men were so, they knew what they were actually doing here was breaking law, but they're so hungry for the Word. And I'll tell you, this trip, it was November of 97, and out of this trip came our training program that we've been developing. The Lord provided this grant last year, and it was to fund certain projects. And one of these projects was a training program. And Drew Freeman, the pastor of Trinity Bible Church in Oklahoma City, is developing this training program. And it's real basic stuff. Bibliology. How to study the Bible. How to prepare a lesson. How to establish church government. I'm doing these out of order, but I'm doing them as they come. A chronology of the Bible. Outlines of the Bible. Of every book of the Bible, we're doing outlines. I'm forgetting one. But anyway, what we're trying to do is take seminary classes and bring them way down to about a junior high or high school level. And we're trying to really be careful with the vocabulary. And then what we're going to do is translate it into these different languages. In fact, we already have these nationals in these different areas that where we've made arrangements to get the material translated as soon as it's done. So we're hoping to have the first segment done by this summer, and it will hit the field. And it's really designed, like I said earlier, to train men in these rural areas to be pastors and teachers. Now you're probably thinking, or pastors and evangelists, you may be thinking, well, why don't you work with another organization? Because there's probably material out there. We haven't found any material that's brought down to this level or that we can live with doctrinally. I mean, we have rebound in this. And unfortunately, that's getting to be a thing you don't see much anymore. But that's just one particular issue that we're going to stay with regardless of what happens. And it's hard to find material out there. So the Lord provided this grant, and Drew Freeman's been working on it since May. And we're really excited about it because it's going to bring all of VMI together. You know, VMI has operated over the years of having American missionaries on the field. We've done short-term teams and camp teams. And then we've had this Grace Notes, this where we put Bible study material over the World Wide Web. Well, that's going to bring all these together through this training program. We're going to have some of our short teamers go and implement this new training program. We're going to be able to tie in the areas where they can get computers like Russia. They're going to be able to go back and tie in with Grace Notes and get more materials after they've gone through the training program. And so it's just real exciting to see all of this coming together. And this training program is going to be our main focus. This is a church building in a leper colony. This is probably maybe the only Christian church that's been built since the war, because you cannot build new church buildings or develop new churches. These lepers built this church building at night, and they did it in less than a week because they didn't want it to be noticed by the government officials. And it's kind of off away from the village in a secluded area. You see a lot of trees and stuff around that. And this is a typical man that worked on it. As you see, he has no fingers and toes, and he has to walk with a crutch. But this is the kind of men that were building this. They were so hungry to have a place to worship and study the Word of God that they went out in the nights and built that church building. If somebody can hit the lights. Don't everybody jump up at once. Oh, thank you. Well, I flew through that and kind of got off on some rabbit trails, but that's kind of what's been happening this past year. The big thing for us was the training program, because it's really bringing all of our ministry together, and we're really excited about that. Do y'all have any questions? That's a good question, and this is going to sound a little odd, but when we go into a new area, we typically, either through Grace Notes or through other means, we hear of a national that's asking for training. So when we go into those areas, we don't know exactly where we'll meet up with them, or even if we will meet up with them, and then the Lord just provides the translators. It's really neat, because you go on a mission trip like that, a reconnaissance trip, and you really see God working. It's exciting. You come back and you're really pumped, because you go over there, and a lot of times your contact, well, like our contacts in Vietnam, none of those worked out for us. We ended up being with other people. We ended up working with some charismatics in Ho Chi Minh City that were begging for training. Now, we're not going to financially support them because we don't agree with their doctrine, but they want to be trained. And so we're going to give them the truth, and we're hoping that, you know, the truth will bring them around. They'll understand, and what they're doing may be just out of ignorance. But and then in Nha Trang, we ended up working with the Open Church, which is the Baptist church that's legal there. But with them associating with us was not legal. But when we go into the area, it's really neat to see God work, and you just don't know what you're in for, which is even wilder than our mission trips, because our mission trips alone are wild. You know, you have to be real flexible. You can attest to that. It really stretches you out of your comfort zone. Yes? Gene Cunningham actually started Village Missions with Jody Brown. They started as Africa Village Missions. And then Gene has moved down to Australia, and he's been working in some other countries. And just this last month, Gene went back to Nigeria for the first time since about 91. And so him and Jody, they're communicating a little bit, and I would imagine that we'll be working with Gene in the future. We'd like to really have Gene go into Vietnam. Vietnam, since white people draw so much attention there, we need to really get in good teachers, because it's in for short periods of time. You don't have much time to work with them. And until we really get that training program rolling, we'd like to be able to take in men like Gene Cunningham to work with those people there.
Now,
yes?
In Africa, you were mentioning the fact that the pastors are not supported financially. Approximately, how much would it cost per pastor?
$25 to $30 a month supports a pastor and his family.
In other words, if you have families that designated $35 to $40 a month to a particular pastor, he would be supported from the states.
Yeah. Now we
have the wherewithal to do that.
Well, this last year we tried that with Larry Hoffman's church, and we tried it with one of the pastors that was in one of the pictures, and he's Linus, and he's been with Matthias since the very beginning. And so we thought, well, that's the best way to try and the best person to try it with. And what we did was they supported him, and we allowed them to communicate back and forth. And unfortunately, it didn't work real well. That's a tremendous temptation to put upon those pastors, because they're connecting up with these people in America that have resources that they don't have. And so what we've done is suspended that as far as them being able to communicate directly. They communicate through VMI, so I can read through the letters and send them on to the pastors and vice versa. But their funds will go towards his salary. If they designate it for a pastor of Nigeria, then we try
without them knowing where it's coming from.
Right. Now, if someone would like to just communicate with the pastor and encourage them, we can hook them up that way too. But the letters will come through VMI. It's just too big of a temptation. I mean, this man was pretty spiritually mature. He's been around, and he still had trouble with it.
I don't understand what the trouble would be. Maybe you can give an example. Would he send it over good stuff that was making people jealous of him?
Well, one thing that happened is one of the people in the church sent him a letter with some cash in it. And once that happened, he felt like he could just write and ask for anything he needed, and it'd be provided. So it kind of spoils them. What's wrong with that?
We don't have anything.
Well, I know, and that's the problem we have on mission teams. And you can attest to this. Every time we go on a short-term trip, anyone goes over there, the first thing you want to do is give them everything you can, and that's the worst thing you can possibly do. You just can't do that. The Lord has provided what they need. And yeah, now if they run out of food, we try to get them food. You know, in Mogilev, they're having a real bad winter. And we let the need be known. We had a large gift come in, and we bought lots of food. And we're dispersing it through the local church there. So that's a little different when it's food, but, you know, when it's tennis shoes and CD players and, you know. And we had two girls with the student exchange program in 93. It was our first experience. And we did all the wrong things. I mean, we took these girls out to Walmart and had a shopping cart full. And then by the end of the stay with us, they were expecting everything. And so we learned a big lesson there. And unfortunately, we've learned it hard on the field like that too. But, you know. Well, it can. And in this situation with Linus, it did distract. He had a problem in ministry. What happened was, without telling you all the dirty laundry. You got to watch her. Okay, I'll tell you the story. Well, Linus, he had this direct contact with someone in Larry's church. And they sent him just $2 or $3 in an envelope. And so he got to thinking, well, you know, if I let them know my needs, my prayer requests, then I'll get what I need. And what happened was he became greedy. And he is a pastor of a church out in a rural area, way out there on that 20-mile line. And we provided him with a motorbike so he could, you know, minister. And if anybody in his village was sick, he could run him to the hospital. Well, what happened was he got so greedy and he didn't even take care of his family. He didn't look after his family appropriately like he should have. And he also, when he would take members to get medical care or to buy food in the main village where the marketplace was, he'd charge them for taking them on the motorbike. And that was a ministry bike. It wasn't his bike. It belonged to the ministry, and we paid the gas. So that's just an example. And he's been with Matthias from the very beginning. And more mature than any of those other pastors. And still he had a problem with it. And you really stop and think about it. That's a huge temptation. You're hooking up somebody with the gravy train. That's what you're doing. And they've heard stories. They realize, you know, how wealthy we are. I mean, we may not have a lot of cash in a bank, but look at how we live. And that's wealthy compared to what they have. So it's a real problem. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming up this next year. Besides this training program that we're developing, we're also developing a teen program. For years, there's been people involved in these Bible camps that have talked about, gosh, we have these great Bible camps, and these kids go back to school, and then they don't have anything. You know, for 9 months, they don't have anything, and then they go to Bible camps again. And we've had a couple of men that have said, well, we'd really like to have a newsletter so we can keep in touch with the kids. So what VMI has decided to do is we're going to pick up that slack because we have the resources to do the newsletters really easy because we do our others. And we have some of the people that are involved in camps that want to pitch in and help. So we're going to establish a teen program. It's going to kick off this fall. And we're going to send them newsletters throughout the school year. And there'll be newsletters from some of the camp directors and Gary Horton and some of these people that are involved in camps. And we'll communicate with them through the school year. And then we'll let them know about upcoming camps in the next year. As you know, you guys are having a lot of kids move from camp to camp. You know, I was talking to Larry Hoffman the other day, and he said there was kids in his church wanting to come to the Arizona camp, and vice versa. And these kids are just really wanting to hit a lot more camps. So through the newsletter, we'll let them know about the camps, and we'll also let them know about mission opportunities for those who are led in that area. Because what we want to do is provide an inexpensive mission trip for a teenager. And I just got back a week before last from Mexico seeing Mario and Cindy Garcia. And we're going to send the kids, we're doing a trial team this summer, and we're going to send about 10 or 12 teenagers down to Aguas Calientes, where they minister at. And they're going to minister out in the village areas around Aguas Calientes. That's a city of about 1 million people. And so they're going to not only minister a little bit in Mario's church, but they are going to go out to the rural villages and open up villages for Mario to follow up and minister to. So they're going to go out and do some real grassroots or early evangelism in some of these villages that have only had exposure to Catholicism. So what we're planning is for the summer of 2000, we're going to open it up to all teenagers, and we're going to not only have a couple of trips to Mexico, but we'll probably offer a trip to maybe the Philippines or Sri Lanka since Mogilev is closing. But those trips, you know, are a lot more expensive. They're $1,800 to $2,000 if you go off-season. If you go in the summertime, they're even a little more expensive than that. Mexico, we can get down in there and back out for $400 or $500. So, and it's the same situation. You're going out to villages and having to rough it, and I think it'd be really good. So if y'all are interested, if you don't get our newsletter and would like to, there's a sign-up sheet over there. And we won't strong-arm you for money. There is a return envelope in there for your convenience, but our policy is to never ask for money. The Lord provides what we need. And also, if you want to sign your teenager up, or if there's a teen here that would like to sign up for it, they can sign up there and put a T out to the side of their name and circle it. And we'll make sure they get on that. Or if you have a teenager at home that you'd like to have subscribed to that newsletter, just put their name down and put a T out to the side and circle it, and we'll make sure they get on the mailing list. So that's the exciting stuff for us, so this training program and the teen program, and we're real excited about it. So, did I forget anything? I usually forget something. Did I forget? The music. Oh, loud music. Yeah, we got loud music. 5 minutes of slides and music. Let me read a verse. If you saw my last newsletter, this would be old news, but I like to look over these verses before we do the slides. This is Philippians chapter 2. This is where Paul was writing to the believers at Philippi, trying to encourage them to be more Christ-like. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And I think he's our real example. And what I'd like you to do is think, keep those passages in your mind as we look at these slides and listen to the music. Now, this music is, I think, a 60s song, so I hope it doesn't bring any bad flashbacks. It's a Christian remake, okay? But seriously, I'd like you to listen to the words, think of this passage, and what we're going to do is we're going to jump all over the world. I'm going to show you just bits and pieces of mission trips, of ministry on the field, and just give you a real taste of missions all over the world. Whoops.
Leads us to you, Lord.
That's all I have. I really appreciate y'all following the ministry and praying for us. If you ever have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to holler. We really enjoy getting letters from people. So if you ever feel led, please drop us a note. Pastor?
It's our custom, as you well know, that whenever we have a mission.